Blog Talk Radio.
All right, race fans. We are back live and on the air. It's 2020, race fans. It's Race Chat Live with Chris and Craig. We've got Mr. CJ Sports in the studio. He will be producing today's show, but it's his birthday, so we're not going to make him talk. So he'll get us all plugged in and get us where we need to be. But other than that, Mr. CJ Sports, happy birthday. I think he's a young 26 this year. Still wet behind the ears. If you buy that, I'll throw the Golden Gate in free. Well, race fans, I tell you what, it has been a long winter. And we are glad to be back on the air for our, I guess, sixth, been here since 2015. So we got a lot of racing to catch up with. Of course, the Ryan Newman incident. My gosh, I mean, just shows the testament of NASCAR and to be able to walk away after that horrible, horrible collision down in Daytona. Gone to Las Vegas. Of course, Las Vegas was a great race. Joey Logano won it on the last lap. Caution. Really, the restarts is just as good as they were last year on these mile-and-a-half speedways. I love the package. Can't wait to see what the short track package is like and to see if we can get a little bit more closer racing there on the short tracks as we did with the Las Vegas. Now, we go to California this week, so Fontana Speedway, I guess it's still Auto Club Speedway is what they call it. So looking forward to that. Breaking news. Chase Elliott, Hendrick Motorsports' golden child, the golden boy of racing. Well, he has accepted the bounty for the $100,000 against Kyle Busch. Chase Elliott will be piloting a GMS truck at his home track in Atlanta, Hooters. Will be on the side of that truck. Now, this is the first race since 2017 that Chase Elliott has raced the Truck Series. He's going to go down there to Atlanta, to his home track, and try to outrun Kyle Busch. Of course, if you didn't know about the bounty, Marcus Loomis and Kevin Harvick have both put up $50,000 apiece. I'm doing my radio show, yeah. Okay, thank you. Cameron decided to come in here and ask me a question. No different than Mr. CJ Sports spending the first 45 minutes of every show talking about his personal life. Bada boom, bada bing. No, it sounds like I'm here by myself. I'm trying to bait somebody to say something, but I guess I'll wing it here for a little while. Of course, dirt track racing has not started up in our parts yet. But tomorrow night down in Hattiesburg Speedway, and I don't know anything, but I do know that there's a certain driver that's been at the opening race the last 3 years and has also popped in and raced quite a few other times. He's yet to get a feature win at the little bull ring down in Hattiesburg Speedway. Now, I don't want to get in trouble. But if that certain driver happens to be there, I would feel like he's probably going to be there to chase that victory. The USCS Sprint Cars, Mr. Pete Walton, does a great job. But I have no insight. I just going on a hunch. He's been there the last 3 years on the opening night, and I won't say his name to keep Mr. Parker from getting in trouble. But you know. I've heard him say in interviews that there's a little bull ring somewhere. He's been trying to get a win at, and he ain't got it yet. And he's won the Dash. He's coming second. He's yet to win. You can name that driver. Well, keep it to yourself. We're not trying to put any extra pressure to what's going on down there at Hattiesburg Speedway. Of course, racing is a tough business, guys. And yeah, I wish that, you know, that it wasn't as hard on these promoters as what it is. But, you know, people always think promoters make a whole lot of money. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of personal money that that goes into these racetracks and the day-to-day operations to keep them in business. But you know, it's Thursday night. We've already had two races of the season. We're going into Fontana for this week, and I believe we'll stop at Phoenix and then go home to Atlanta. Atlanta will be the second week in March. So, yes, I do believe we're going to Fontana this week, Phoenix next week, and then we'll be back on the East Coast slide. We'll go race Atlanta there at the second week of March. So we're looking forward to the truck race, you know, the Bounty. Of course, Marcus Lomas, he's a Gander World Mountain guy. He's sponsoring the truck series. And Kevin Harvick, you know, a couple weeks ago, he's like, hey, you know, Kyle Busch keeps coming in. He keeps winning. Let's throw a Bounty. Kyle Busch was not very happy about the Bounty. I said that, you know, it's not going to be cool when he gets wrecked as somebody's chasing the Bounty. But let me tell you something. The Bounty is only for Cup drivers to go down and whoop Kyle Busch in the truck series. So I doubt that, you know, you will see a Chase Elliott, possibly a Kevin Harvick. No, I doubt he'll chase his own Bounty. But so, you know, Chase Elliott or... you know, I really don't know what other Cup driver would actually go down to the truck series. I'm not sure if too many of the Cup drivers have actually been participating in the Cup in the truck series in the last couple of years. So that's really one series that's kind of kept, for the most part, the Cup drivers out of it. Kyle Busch is the only one that comes to mind that has won recently, other than Craig Biffle, but you can't count him as a Cup driver. He's not raced full-time competition since 2017. We're going to keep our eye on that. It would be really cool to see if I could just pick a couple of drivers out of the top of my head. I'd love to see Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski go down there to the truck series. I don't really remember Joey being in the trucks, but I do remember Brad Keselowski being in the trucks. As a matter of fact, Brad Keselowski started out in the trucks. He was with his own father's team. And then Bob Keselowski. And then a guy by the name, I believe, of Shane Huffman, if I'm not mistaken, he got fired from Junior Motorsports. And Junior Motorsports, I think that was probably Chance 2 Motorsports at the time, called upon Brad Keselowski. They had the Navy sponsorship, if I'm not mistaken. And, well, the rest is history. Brad Keselowski got a start now. Of course, 2013 Cup champion. He's a free agent at the end of the year. A little tidbit about Brad Keselowski. He has a new crew chief. There's been a crew chief swap over at Penske Racing. Todd Gordon is now, I believe Todd Gordon is Ryan Blaney's crew chief. Paul Wolf is Joey Logano's crew chief, and Brad Keselowski got the other guy. So there's three crew chiefs there, and Brad Keselowski probably didn't fare too well in the crew chief swap. But as we speculate what's going to happen in the 2021 race season, we'll have to wonder if Brad Keselowski or Ryan Blaney, both who are up of contracts at the end of the year, whether or not they're going to stay or whether or not they're going to go. I hear some noise in the background. You're more than welcome to to speak. If this is our co-host, Craig Nurse.
It is, buddy.
What are you doing?
Hey, you know what I'm doing? Listen, I don't think Keselowski's going anywhere.
Yeah?
I think the captain will keep him around. I think he's a lifer, Penske.
I've yet to see a lifer at Penske, Craig
I'm
Moore.
I'm telling you, I think.
And Keselowski is the winningest driver at Penske. So you would think if anybody kept their rod and was able to retire at Penske, it would definitely be Brad Keselowski. As we found out through the Dale Jr. download, Rusty Wallace was forced to retire. He didn't really want to retire and thought that maybe he hung it up a couple of years too early. So Penske has a way of keeping you, basically saying, hey, you think about the drivers, Craig Moore, that have gone through Penske Racing, right? You want to name a couple? Rusty Wallace, Ryan Newman, Sam Hornish, Brendan Gaughan, David Strimme.
Sam Hornish, really, I mean, his claim to fame was IndyCar. So, not too many of those guys fare too well when they come over to NASCAR. Now, unlike Tony Stewart and Jeff Gordon. But other than that, I mean, who do they really, what's their big claim to fame?
Right,
I mean, the two flagship drivers for Penske is,
Kurt Busch. You know, Kurt Busch had a hell of a run there at Penske. Of course, he replaced the retired Rusty Wallace.
Right.
But it wasn't a match made in heaven, and it didn't last for very long.
Well,
actually, Penske has a pretty high turnover rate when you look
at
the drivers that have come through.
I think that the fact with Kurt Busch not lasting forever there, I think that was in his that was sort of in his FU days. And, what the heck, we might as well start the season off right. That was in his FU days, so he wasn't taking direction from too many people too well, including, just about everybody that he drove for since, except for Chip Ganassi. So, it kind of makes you wonder.
I think he was on his best behavior at Stuart Haas. I think that, that Gene really stepped out and actually gave Kurt Busch a resurgence in his career. And I was really surprised a couple of years ago when they went with the direction of Suarez instead of maintaining Busch. Like the story goes, very few NASCAR drivers actually stay their whole career somewhere. And most of them only stay 3 or 4 years, Craig.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the – and like we said this last year on the show, we're seeing more and more drivers hang up the proverbial helmet a lot sooner because they're having kids. They want to pursue other interests, which I honestly think is a great thing. They're not overstaying their welcome like Dick Trickle.
Clogging up the old pool. Exactly.
Right. They're not clogging up what could be there. And now they're not. It's a pay-as-you-play system, pay-to-play system. So, you can say, and we've talked about this numerous times, you can say, well, that's only for certain drivers. I think you're going to see that more and more over the course of the next couple of years. That it's definitely going to be a pay-to-play because we don't see sponsors either sticking around for very long.
Right.
I mean,
right. And I think that's a big issue.
Kyle Larson.
Look at Miller Lite, Craig. Look at Miller Lite. When was the last time that there was only one race scheduled for Miller Lite the entire season?
Exactly.
Miller Lite has been a part of NASCAR for, you go back to Miller Genuine Draft, the MGD car, then you go back to Miller High Life with the Allison, okay? And that's not even counting that, years later they bought Coors, and we all remember Coors from Bill Elliott all the way to Sterling Marlin, right? Even Kyle Petty had Coors Light as a sponsorship. So, that's a major brand that has up and left NASCAR. Basically one race the entire season. I can't even find Miller Light anywhere on Brad Keselowski's uniform.
So that's how little of a presence Miller Lite's putting into this season.
Right. So it kind of makes you sit back and scratch your head a little bit and say, if these major longtime sponsors are leaving, what does that tell you for the sport? I don't think the sport's going anywhere. I just think that they're not allocating as much money as they used to.
Yeah.
It used to be a win on Sunday, buy on Monday mentality in NASCAR, and it's not like that anymore. They
and
might
I think
want
the
to tell
world.
You it is, but yeah.
I think the tech world had a lot to shake up on that. And literally, Craig Moore, what are we spending our money, our extra money on these days? We're basically going out and buying new cell phones every year. That's it.
Yep.
You know, maybe a laptop or basically if it has something to do with the internet, Craig Moore, that's what we're going and buying. And that's what we're purchasing. And most of those are owned all by one or two companies. You're either going to be messing with Sony or Samsung or Apple. One of those three, right? I mean, this is the age, the golden age of gaming, right? Everybody's going out and buying them a computer so that they can play iRacing, or they're going out and buying a PlayStation or Xbox so they can play the NASCAR Heat version, NASCAR Heat 4. Of course, now we've gotten news that Heat 5 is not going to be anytime soon because there's been not enough revenue rolling in with these games. In a time where everything is gaming, you know, natured, they're still having a hard time selling enough games to make a profit in the NASCAR world. iRacing has been around since the 90s. They have survived a lot. I give it to them. I give them a lot of credit. But Craig Moore, I don't care what iRacing driver out there, they're never going to be able to compare themselves to the types of situations that Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Gordon, or even Joey Logano, you cannot compare those two drivers. You cannot compare simulated world versus real world. It's just no way. And so a lot of emphasis has been put in to this iRacing league and all. But Craig, when it's all said and done, until you get behind that car and you've dealt with 800 horsepower up underneath you, there's no comparison into the sport compared to iRacing versus the real thing. Simulation, the real thing, I guarantee you I'm going to pick the real thing every time. It doesn't matter if we're talking about racing, doesn't matter if we're talking about fishing, or it doesn't matter if we're shooting wool.
No, and I agree with you. I think that the iRacing is cool, but you know, that's not going to make you a cup driver. What's going to make you a cup driver is out there turning laps. And I mean, all the major drivers are owned in iRacing teams, and I've noticed that. Switching gears, changing lanes real quick. This past winter, I had a chance to do the Fonda Speedway Banquet, and Stewie was there, and I think I was talking about this with you off right after it happened. But Friesen had switched this year from Chevy to Toyota and aligned himself with Kyle Busch Motorsports.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I were talking at the banquet, and I said, well, is that kind of why you were hesitant when we were talking about you doing some Xfinity races? He says, yeah. He goes, I couldn't say no. But he said it was in the works for over a year and a half. Can you imagine negotiating a deal for over a year and a half, Chris?
Wow. Man.
That's why he was so quiet when he was talking to us about it, about things, because he couldn't really say much.
Right.
But he said they were in negotiations for over a year and a half. And obviously, they know that Toyota is the place to be, obviously, in NASCAR. I hate to say it, but, you know, Toyota won the majority of the cup races last year, and every time Kyle was in a truck, they seemed to have won. So, you know, you can't. Toyota was the truck to be in, or the car to be in. Speaking of new cars, I got a new car.
Yeah.
I didn't get a Chevy, a Toyota, or a
or a Ford. I instead got a Jeep.
You got a Mopar.
I did. I got a 2020 Jeep Cherokee Latitude. Got heated seats, so that way my butt is nice and warm.
Yeah.
Because it's cold here in upstate New York.
That's what I heard. And we've had such a mild winter this year. Very, very mild. Matter of fact, it's been so mild, everybody's been sick all winter long. It's definitely definitely not been the most comfortable winter. When you have all the flu and the allergies and all that gets passed around, when you don't get those sub-zero temperatures or you don't get that below-freezing temperature, Craig, all you're doing is basically passing a bunch of bacteria around. And all it's done damn near the whole winter is rain. And so it's just not been very good. But now I have good news out of that. My good news is, 2 weeks ago I quit smoking cigarettes.
Well, that is awesome.
25 years, man. 25 years of smoking cigarettes, and I am no longer part of that club. I let it go.
Now, Miss Heather, the wife hasn't wanted to kill you yet?
No. She's been very supportive, Craig. You know, she quit smoking back in October, and, she just up and quit. She gave no warning whatsoever that, hey, I'm thinking about quitting. As a matter of fact, Heather and I had spoke many times that I didn't think that I was ever going to be able to quit because it's tough to quit smoking and live in the house with a smoker. Well, she up and up, decided that she wanted to spend her money on other things, including a new car, and went to the vaping products, and, I don't really have anything against the vaping at all. It helped her let go of a very nasty habit that, really doesn't have a good end to it, at least for most people. So I had been filled with guilt for almost the whole winter time because I was still smoking, and I'd go outside by myself and smoke, and I didn't like it. We'd go to go somewhere, and I'd stand at the front of the car, try to hit a cigarette while my wife was, nice, warm, and cozy, got the car cranked up, ready to go. And just one irritation led to the other. I got the flu a couple weeks ago and couldn't smoke anyway because I didn't have a breath to smoke with. And I said, well, you know what, if I'm going to be in bed for the next 3 days, I told my wife I had about a half a pack of cigarettes on me, and I told my wife to pull into the Sunoco and go and buy me my last pack of cigarettes that I was never going to open. And by golly, later that evening, I threw those cigarettes in the floor and said, I'm never going to smoke those. You can take them back. And I'm proud to say 2 weeks later, that pack is still up on my dresser, unopened. And I still have 5 cigarettes left out of my old pack. So, they always say, the best thing to do is throw them away out of sight, out of mind. I went the opposite way, Craig. I knew that I could smoke if I wanted to. I didn't take my ability to smoke away. I, said, hey, I'm going to either beat this with them or I'm going to beat them without them. I did go a week later, and I fired one up in the bathroom, and I took 2 puffs off of it, and about blew my lungs out again, and said, I think I'm better off without these. So I did have that moment of collection, and like I said, a lot of times in life when you feel like somebody's taking something away from you, you say, well, I'm going to choose it to do on my time. Well, thank goodness, when I was tempted to go and try it out one more time, I had to throw it out, man. I had to accept the end result was I was no longer a smoker. And I tell you what, I have felt a lot better.
That is awesome.
I sleep better. I feel better. I really, it's not that I'm looking down on people who smoke. I think that will always be something that I carry with me because I, for 7 years, did not want to be a smoker anymore, but was left with the guiltiness of being a smoker. And my children begged me to stop, and none of that seemed to help. But finally, they say the secret to quitting is making it complicated for yourself to smoke. And I believe that, Craig, because I believe that the not being able to smoke in the house, not being able to smoke in the car, I was designated the bathroom. I was allowed to smoke in the bathroom with the window open. I could do that. Of course, you know, there's nothing like, you know, when you're a smoker, taking that morning time and while you're sitting there, you know, I don't have to get into any more detail. But, you know, that was a great time. It was a great experience for me for 25 years, but I'm really looking forward to the next 25 years as a non-smoker. And hopefully my health insurance will come down a little bit, and my life insurance will too. So, yeah, there's got to be positives out of it, man.
Absolutely.
You, on the other hand, you had a whole different kind of off season, right? Let's hear a little bit about the chest opening situation. So, so you went for a little checkup, and then what happened, man?
The doctor come in, the guy that did the test come in and said, he looked right at me and said, "Well, I got good news and I got bad news." He says, "I'll give you, but each one of them has two parts." And I said, "Okay." He said, "Well, good news is you're still alive." I'm like, "Obviously, because I'm talking to you." He goes, "Bad news is I'm not sure how." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you're 98 to 99% blocked." I went, I said, "Oh, shit."
Gosh.
That wasn't the word I used, but I cleaned it up for radio. And he said, part two of that is,
holy,
you're not going home.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Man.
He said, "You're not going home." He said, "You're going to stay with us for the next 12 to 14 days. And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he says, "We're going to open you. We're going to crack your chest open. We're going to do double the triple bypass." And I'm like, "Oh, so, you know, like when you have that moment of clarity in life and you think that your time is near, you try to think of the people that you hurt."
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So you could apologize to them. Well, I didn't think of one. Because I thought, you know what, screw you, it doesn't much matter. You're not going to believe me anyway. So I had to double bypass. You know, it was rough. The first couple days after surgery was rough. But the nursing staff here at the local hospital was phenomenal. They got me up walking every day.
At what point did you think you were going to die?
When he told me I needed double bypass.
You didn't think you were going to make it back?
I mean, I did apologize.
How you felt then versus how you feel now, can you tell the difference?
Yes. I was able to walk for a total of 4 minutes on the treadmill before I had my surgery when I did my stress test.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I walked 12 and a half minutes on the treadmill for my stress test.
Wow.
Not only that, but while I was in Florida, I was walking. Yeah, it was only a couple states away from you, and we didn't even visit.
Yeah. Well, you flew.
Right. My arms were tired afterward. I walked like 3.5 miles per day because it's all flat at the bottom. So
right.
I just walked and walked and walked and walked. And one day I walked so far, I forgot where the hell I was. And I turned around and go, "Where was I?" So, I mean, yeah, I feel a lot better now. I quit smoking for probably 2 weeks even after I came home. And then stressors of daily life and whatnot. And, you know, so now I've got to work on quitting again.
Well, I tell you what, Craig, that's one thing that I feel like, you know, to not get into too much detail, I've had experience already at quitting things that I shouldn't be doing. And I really feel like that was something that the good Lord blessed me with this was, He reminded me of where I had come from before. He had reminded me of past things in my life that controlled me for short periods of time. And I was able to use that as kind of the determination that I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to allow this to tear me down because I have overcome this. And once I had that mindset, it really was not hard. And for somebody, like I told you, Craig, for 7 years, I wanted to quit. For 7 years, I felt guilty because I knew that I shouldn't be smoking. You know, I knew that my time up was done. You know, I needed to get away from these cigarettes because I felt the wear and tear on my body.
Right.
And so my biggest, I tried to quit 7 years ago on New Year's Eve. It was a New Year's resolution. By January 3rd, you could have put me in the mental hospital because I was ready to shoot myself. And stress and all this other stuff. Well, once I got past the third day, Craig, I felt like I had won. I felt like, you demon, you can sit down. And I promise you that there are still moments in time. And I guess I feel like nicotine is like in the DNA inside your blood. Once you've smoked a cigarette or once you've dipped skull or chewed tobacco, whatever your choice, or vaped, you have that nicotine that's in your DNA. And so, like, there's a moment, you know, where all of a sudden something didn't go right, and the first thing you think about is, God, I need a cigarette. But, Craig Moore, when you build off that and you say, you know what, I don't need that cigarette. Now I'm done. I don't want it. They always said, you know when you're done. You know when you didn't force it. You know, it's your choice. Like, if you really want to quit, you will quit. And I was at that point in my life where I really wanted it to be over. And so I went through the withdrawals. I went through the pain and the suffering. And after a week, you know, especially after the Daytona 500, that was the moment where I was like, hey, I'm okay with telling people now that I quit smoking. I'm okay with it because, and I'm sure a lot of people are like, oh, hell, he hadn't been quit long enough. You know, he's already jumping the gun. No, as I said before, when it is your time to be done with it and you are serious to yourself and you're not using outside influence to try to convince you, when you are done with it within yourself, you will turn your back and you'll never smoke again, and you'll be proud of that. So,
yeah,
I'm here for you. And I feel like that maybe, you know, you have probably, the quitting was not in it for you right now to quit. Because,
no,
to be honest with you, you felt like you survived something. You felt like, hey, you know, I've overcome this, but I'm not ready to let go of this. And I'll give you something on that. I had quit drinking caffeine drinks, sodas. I was on non-caffeine sodas for the last 2 years. When they put me on blood pressure medicine, I had reaction, I guess, with caffeine and the blood pressure medicine. It made me feel really crazy. It made me feel like I was on crack cocaine. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, like, caffeine had really become that serious in my life to where I felt like I was sick without it, and so I quit it. Well, when I quit smoking, the very first thing I did was go out and buy me a double barrel cherry cola, baby. And I have been pounding cherry cola like it's going out of style, man. So you know what? Hello, fresh lungs. Bye-bye, good kidneys. Woo! It's double berry cherry cola time. Can I have some extra grenadine, please?
So let's talk about the Daytona 500. I got in a little late. That accident with Ryan Newman, I mean, to see him walk out of the hospital 2 days after that accident, that just goes to show you the depths of – that's a big word for me early in the night. That just goes to show you the depths of the safety innovations NASCAR has
definitely
come. Because if that accident was 20 years ago, it would have been, it, or even 19 years ago, it would have been the end.
I think 10 years ago. I really think that the Newman bar saved Newman's life. Like, that little extra bar that they put into the very top of the car, that was the make or break for Newman walking away. That and the self-containment seat. You cannot praise that seat more than anything. I don't know where I heard it from, and I don't know where it come from, but I heard, and this is one of those times I wish we had stats, that the amount of force of rate that was hit between Ryan Newman and Corey LaJoie was 55 gigs. 55. Now, you have an airplane pilot, a fighter jet pilot, who cannot withstand anything more than 8 to 9, okay? 10 is like top level, right? Ryan Newman and Corey LaJoy, the impact was so hard. It was 55 Gs, and the only thing that I can compare that to is a jet airliner falling out of the sky and hitting the ground. So if a self-containment seat in a roll cage does the job on 55 Gs, I swear to you, Craig, we have one of the most safest sports in the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, it was just a pleasure to see him walk away. I mean, I seen when they put the screens up on the track. When they put the screens up on the track, I thought to myself, oh, no, not another one. And then probably, like, I don't know, within 6 hours, there was a – and I think I posted it on the Race Chat Live page. You may have posted it somewhere. I may have actually got it from you. There was a picture of – somebody had photoshopped a picture of Earnhardt over Daytona and pointing down at Ryan and saying, it is not your time, Hoss. It is not your time. Not today.
Not today.
Not on my watch. I think that's what it was.
And you just compare the two, right? You go back 20 years ago when we lost Earnhardt, 19 years ago, and on the last lap, Craig Moore, Ryan Newman was about to win the Daytona 500. Ryan Newman was about to be the upset story of the year. And within 200 feet of the start-finish line, hits the wall in a damn near 180. The car shoots all the way from the bottom of the track to the top of the track. And Craig Moore, I know you were watching that race. When he hit that wall, you thought, that hit looked like Earnhardt. But then the car goes up into the air, flips over, and a driver side impact between the two race cars, between Corey LaJoy and Ryan Newman. As you said, the screens come up. You know that there's all kinds of people around the car. There's no thumbs up from the driver. It was a very scary time. And you know what? I will dog the mess out of Fox Sports forever for leaving us for those 2 hours not knowing anything. To have that kind of coverage, and it being the Daytona 500, we had 6 hours of pregame on Sunday to cut away, and for two long, dreadful hours to not know the condition of Ryan Newman. Of course, we still really don't know the condition of Ryan Newman. But seeing him walk out of the hospital barefooted with his daughters in hand, that pretty much told us, hey, this guy's okay. He's probably got his bell rung, though. And I think he did get his bell rung, and that's probably what's keeping him out of a race car. Ross Chastain, was that a good pick for Roush? And how did a Chevy driver wind up in a Ford, Craig? How is that?
Well,
Ross Chastain, Chevy driver.
Money.
Well, I heard that Chip Ganassi loaned him and said, hey, this is your guy. Like, this is the guy that needs this spot. And, you know, Ross has turned a lot of heads over the last year, and to have Chip Ganassi going to bat for him like that and allowing him to, you know, he was in the 77 Chevrolet for the Daytona 500 to be in the number 6 Ford the very next week. That was a high compliment from a long time. You know, from a longtime owner who I think has probably won't be in the Hall of Fame as an owner, but has definitely left a major imprint on the sport of racing, Chip Ganassi.
Interesting, very interesting. All right, I know when we came on, you were talking about the bounty.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? I have even more news to add to that. Did you hear?
I don't know. You tell me, and I'll tell you.
Kyle Larson has accepted the bounty at Homestead in 3 weeks.
Yes. And Chase
Does
Elliott
Chase
is going
Elliott?
To do it at Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So my question is, if Chase Elliott wins in Atlanta, is Kyle Larson still raced in the Truck Series at Homestead?
I think he will, because sponsors will be banking on it, and they're selling tickets for it.
Right.
So
now we're back into, we're putting cup drivers in trucks, and we're supposed to like it. What the hell happened over the winter time?
Yeah.
Is it just that we hate Kyle Busch that much?
Well, here's what I don't understand, is what's Kevin Harvick to deal with Busch? Is there one? Do they have heat with each other? Or is it Harvick was trying to think of something to bring the Truck Series of notoriety?
Very good question, and I want to ask you: did you know that Kevin Harvick now has KHI, and it is no longer a ownership of motorsports teams, but actually an agency? Kevin Harvick has agents now. He has an agency. To me, it seems like maybe there's a little bit of promotion going on here. It seems to be, and Marcus was to jump on real quick with that. It's almost like it was already decided beforehand. Harvick said, hey, I'm going to do it. Then Marcus comes in and says, hey, I'll ante that up times two, so we'll make it $100,000 instead of $50,000. And it almost is like that was played up to be like that. And, you know, as somebody who's representing the sport as an agent, Kevin Harvick, That's big time there. That is big time. And I know for a fact that Ty Dillon has left his agency to go to KHI for Kevin Harvick to be his agent. So you're talking about a driver who dipped into motorsport, then closed his operation. Now all of a sudden he's representing drivers for their contracts for other teams. How versatile is Kevin Harvick?
But now what does that do for his contract negotiations? Because now he knows what other drivers are getting.
Right. And he signed until 2024. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation that Harvick was ready to hang it up, going to be the man to replace Darrell Waltrip in the booth. But Fox decided that Gordon and Mike Joy were good enough, and I guess didn't want to pay up the money that Harvick was asking to basically replace DW in the booth. I like the two-man tandem. I just wish we could get Mike Joy somebody besides Jeff Gordon because, to be honest with you, the first 2 weeks have been absolutely horrid with Jeff Gordon. Mike Joy will not correct him, and I can kind of see why. Why would you correct him when he probably gets paid a lot more than Mike Joy and doesn't know anywhere near the broadcasting skills that Mike Joy has? Darrell Waltrip was a natural. And I went back over the summer, over the wintertime, and I watched some 95 Busch Clash and several others. And from the door, DW was a natural. Now, I think, you know, DW kind of wore out his welcome. Kevin Harvick, he's another natural. Jeff Gordon, he's not so much of a natural. He was a great race car driver. He turned a lot of heads. He's a very popular figure, but I'm sorry, announcing and broadcasting is not really his call, and it's probably not really Dale Jr.'s call either. I know people are going to argue with me, and their jaws are going to drop, being that I'm a Dale Jr. fan, but I'll be honest with you, I would take Alan Bestwick over either one of those guys any day, my brother, any day. Please bring Alan Bestwick, put him in the booth, bring in Bob Jenkins, and they can have Gordon. And they can have Dale Jr., and I got some real broadcasters back in the booth that I enjoy listening to.
So is that kind of like the old adage, and I know you've seen it on Facebook before, dear God, can we please have back Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, and Prince, and we'll give you Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift? And is it the same kind of swap?
yeah, definitely, definitely. Oh my gosh! I mean, you're so very right to bring, you know, to have Michael Jackson back, to have a Prince or Whitney Houston. I mean, I ain't even gonna lie to you. I turned some Whitney Houston on the other night, my brother. Huh? I mean, it's just to hear her voice again, right? To hear the magnificence Whitney Houston. I mean, she was above all that.
Well, she's going on tour again. You do know that, right?
I think that's a little bit far-fetched, my brother. I think that's a little bit far-fetched.
No, sir. It is a holographic, and I don't know if CJ is listening. It is a holographic tour.
Wow.
I seen that the other day, and I said to the person telling me, I'm like, well, isn't she dead? I said, how the hell is that happening? That's like Kobe Bryant coming back and helping the Lakers win another title.
Too soon, man. Too soon.
One of the other things that I got to do while I was rehabbing was I was in Florida. You know I was in Florida. And my father does a morning show down there. And somehow we got on the subject of Kobe Bryant. I don't really know how. And he said, well, you know, Kobe kind of caused his own death. And me and the news girl just looked at him, and he said, now listen to what I'm telling you. He said, LAPD and the Sheriff's Department and California Highway Patrol all grounded their helicopters that day.
Yes.
He says that he got special permission. Yep. So, like, the NASCAR teams, like, I almost said Gordon because I'm looking at it, paint schemes for this weekend. The 24 is going to have the Exalted car purple. It's all going to be, some of them are for Kobe Bryant.
In honor of Kobe. I think Ron Blaney as well. To go back to what you just said, you're very right. And you know for a fact that the reason why Kobe Bryant had that pilot as his pilot was for what reason, Craig?
Because he was experienced.
And he would do what he wanted him to do, right?
He would do what he was told.
He would do what he was told, no matter what, this helicopter will get me to where I need to go. That's why he's my pilot. But you know what? Vanessa Bryant has no problem suing the helicopter company because of that very reason. So a man of power used his power to make sure that he could get wherever he wanted to go to. And the one who's going to suffer in the end is the business owner driving a pilot who wouldn't stand up to the multi-billionaire and say, no, we're going to stay grounded. And Vanessa obviously blames the death of her daughter and Kobe on the fact that the pilot didn't say no. But you know, with a man of power, that's the reason why he's his pilot. And so you have to just sit there and say, hey, man, if you're in that position and you're a pilot, the best thing for you to do is to not have that job. Because you know if that pilot had refused to fly, guess what? Kobe Bryant would not have had him as his pilot, right?
That's right.
Kobe Bryant would have found the man who would have flown regardless, and it cost him his life. You see?
And not eight others.
Your father was right there on it. You know, I listened to your show. I listened to the show, and I feel like you were so great with your dad, man.
Thank you, brother. You
brought back a little bit of this in your voice, a little bit of that you know. And I heard it from your dad, and I was like, wow, that's where Craig gets his wing from. That's how he presents himself. Like, this is, you know, and I'm pretty certain that that's really your stepdad, right?
No, that's your biological father.
That's your
biological father.
Yeah, well, damn,
he's been in radio 45 years.
That says it all, Craig. You and him, I mean, you know, wow. You didn't fall too far from the apple tree, my friend.
Thank you, brother. So Auto Club Speedway this weekend. It's going to be, I believe it's a triple header again. Let me just double check. Oh, I got to tell you something. I was listening to Moody there. What the hell
today.
Is his name? Yeah,
Dave Moody,
the other day.
Okay.
Godfather Dave Moody. Some guy called in and said, I think KHI could dust off a couple of trucks. Dave Moody, I don't know if he was like trying to play with the guy or what, but he goes, yeah, he goes, that'd be a great idea. He goes, if he had any.
I'm pretty sure
when he liquidated, his wife, I forget his wife's name, made sure that everything went with it.
Right.
Delana Harvick made sure that everything went with it. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, do you not pay attention? Like, he liquidated that team like 6-7 years ago.
Yeah. Well, if Harvick for some reason decided to keep a couple of trucks that maybe had some sentimental value, I'm here to say that I know for a fact there's a truck that Bobby Hamilton built back in the late 90s, early 2000s. A guy by the name of Chris Fontaine piloted that truck for damn near 10 seasons, and actually it finally succumbed to the last wreck, I believe, in 2018. So damn near 20 years, there was a truck that survived. So, I mean, you know, when he says dust it off, you know, the truck's really not changed much over the last, you know, since the inception. So, you know, I mean, he's probably not too far-fetched. Now, here's some interesting thing that was on Dave Moody today. And I don't know if you've heard about it, but there's been a lot of steam with the North Wilkesboro. All of a sudden, you know, we've heard all about the fairgrounds and Rockingham. Well, you know, somewhere in the middle of the winter, Dale Jr. said, hey, we need to go down here and we need to get North Wilkesboro mapped out so we can put it on iRacing. Well, all of a sudden, it didn't stop there. And as of today, a local official in North Wilkesboro was on the Dave Moody show and basically said it is in SMI's court to bring back North Wilkesboro. Now, we've seen pictures, and this place looks horrible. There has not been a repave on that track in 30-plus years. There's not been a single car on the track in 10 years. They wanted to take $80 to $110 million to put it into Nashville. Now, if Nashville doesn't work, Craig Moore, what are your thoughts on taking that $80 to $110 million and revitalizing, reopening the great North Wilkesboro? What do you think about that?
I think it's great as long as ticket prices stay affordable.
Yes.
If ticket prices don't stay affordable, you've just pretty much crashed out your entire market for that region of the country.
And that's one of the discussions that me and my father had today, Craig Moore, about North Wilkesboro, was you're 2 hours from Richmond. You're two and a half hours from Martinsville. You're like 4 hours from Bristol. You know, there's a lot going on in that little circle right there. And I think, you know, unless you actually have, which it used to be, you know, full community support for North Wilkesboro before Bruton come in and, you know, just basically stole the race from them. There was a lot of support there. There was a lot of in-community support. If you build the stadium and it's 35,000, no more than 35,000 people, as long as you can make the profit off of that, Craig, and you're selling out and the people that are living in the community come back and support that racetrack, I think it's a great deal. But when you really start looking at the logistics of things, you know, unless that's going to be a midweek racetrack, and who would not love to see North Wilkesboro under the lights, my friend? Oh, my God. Like, that would be the double whammy. That would be the ultimate. You know, but you still have Darlington down the road. You got Martinsville. You got Richmond. You know, you got Bristol. All these tracks are right there together.
Here's the thing, and we've talked about this a few times, that you bring it back, it's going to sell out the first year it'll sell out.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt, because it's been forever since it's been on the schedule. So if they get it ready to go in, say, 2024, it will sell out 24 and 25.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to sell out, but those other tracks around it are going to take a hit because everybody's going to go there.
Right.
So how much of a hit are those tracks like Darlington, Richmond, and the other ones that you mentioned? How much of an attendance hit are they going to take?
Yeah. Yeah,
so
it's
they
almost
gotta look
not
at,
worth the risk, right? Because if you're just going to borrow fans from other tracks, that's kind of what's been going on in dirt track racing, and it's not worked. Yeah, these dirt tracks have said, hey, we're going to race every other weekend. That way we can give our competition a chance to race, and they won't race on top of it. But what happens, Craig? You have one rain out, then you can't even – you know, reschedule the race because it's 2 weeks before you race. And guess what? When you go a month in a certain area where there's no racing during the peak times, what happens, Craig? Well, they go somewhere else. They go find something else to do. You can't bring people into a racetrack once a month.
No.
Racing is supposed to be an every weekend thing for these guys, for these local tracks. And when you start closing every other weekend, And then you have a little bit of rain, a little bit of bad weather. Next thing you know, it's been a freaking month or 6 weeks since the last race you had. Well, guess what? Those people just didn't sit at home for 5 weeks, Craig. They went and found something else to do.
Exactly.
And it probably now, wasn't driving 2 hours down the road to another track. They went to the bowling alley. They went to the movies. They went out to eat. They did something else.
That's right. Now, I will tell you, and I'm sure you've seen the pictures from this, we went down to the Henry County Fair Speedway or whatever it's called down in Clewiston. We went opening night. So, and my father detests racing.
He thinks it's dumb. He's one of
turn,
those.
Go fast, turn left.
Stupid go left shit.
Yep. So, but we were there, and, you know, my father and brother obviously work for the radio station, and my brother says to me, "Craig, I want to get in the pits." He goes, "But I don't think they're going to let me." And I said, "Well, why not?" He goes, "Well, because they didn't give us pit passes. They just gave us general admission." And I said, "You want to see a brother with a big set of cojones?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Watch this." I walked up to the pit gate, and I said, "Yeah." I said, "Hi, my name is Craig Moore." I said, "This is my brother, Christian." I said, our father is in the stands. He's Mike Moore. He hosts mornings on WAFC. I said, "And we'd like to get in the pits. I said, "But we don't want to pay."
Yeah.
I says, "And it'll be good advertising for you guys." I says, "By looking at your stands, you guys need it."
You slid right on in, and you use the old grease. You stuck it right where it needed to go, and you slithered right through the gate, didn't you?
Yes, sir. We went, and they were like, "Oh, absolutely, that's phenomenal." I said, "And when we come back out through, we want to talk with the promoter because we want to get him on board, and we want to do some advertising. We want him to do some advertising."
Now, wait a minute. Was this all a game, or was your father actually starting to kind of open up to motorsport?
No, he still doesn't like it. But he was in the stand watching the race. And then, like, he got, for hot laps, to wave the green flag. And so we got some pictures of that. We posted it on the station page. And then he calls me up. And then he talks about, you know, he introduced me to the flagger and told the flagger that, you know, he said, "Yeah," he goes, "my boy hosts a racing show on the internet with a guy from Mississippi." And, you know, he goes, "I'd really like him to do this." So we got some pictures of me doing it. But we walked around the pits. Dude, it was $10,000 to win over two nights. Or no, I'm sorry, $5,000 to win over two nights. There was a guy from Britain there racing. The hell were they racing? It was something really funny looking. They sounded like they had Kawasaki 1100 motors in them.
Oh, the mini sprints.
The mini sprints. They sounded like a wind-up toy.
Yeah.
Now, my father was amazed by them, and so was I.
Really?
But we were walking around the pits, my brother and I, and he goes, my brother says to me, "Damn, I didn't realize it was going to be that easy." I said, "Dude, if you don't ask, you don't know."
Right.
Exactly. I said, "And you're so worried about promoting your girl's restaurant, which I understand, and the radio station at the same time," I said, "that you took your eye off the ball, and getting in these pits is what you really wanted." I said, "And when we get out of here, we're going to talk to the promoter about signing a contract to do some advertising." And he was like, "We are?" And I said, "We are, so I hope you brought contracts." And he's like, "No." I'm like, "Damn, son, you failed."
Wow.
But we walked around the pits. We were talking to guys. There was guys. Now, we're in southern Florida. Now, you know who Roland Martin is, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were doing – I partied at his marina. But
mm-hmm.
We were in Roland's hometown, South Florida. There was guys from Great Britain, California, Pennsylvania, New York, and they run Tony Stewart's Outlaw Sprint Series.
Mm-hmm. The All-Star Series.
The All-Star Series. We were trying to get back there Saturday night to see if Tony would show up.
Mm-hmm.
And they had anticipated that he was going to, but it was going to be late Saturday. Well, yours truly was a little under the weather because Kahlua and Fireball had something to do with it.
Working out
but,
real hard, ain't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was hitting
yeah.
that bottle pretty good. But, I mean, to go down and I was excited to see that the track was opening because I'm like, man, I want to see racing in different parts of the country. And this is about as far south as you can get before you get to Key West. And, I mean, the passion. There was probably, Chris, there was probably 50 people in the stands.
Oh, goodness.
And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it was 50 diehard people. My father sat next to a woman. That woman goes to every race every week. If it's a double shot Friday, Saturday, she is there every night. She had a 2-year-old who slept through all
the
noise.
Entire time.
And my father was in utter amazement. He's like, how does she sleep? She says she's been coming here since she's a month old. She's used to it.
Right, right.
She wakes up in the car on the way home.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean.
I know how that is. I had 3 of them do the same thing. All my children grew up at the racetrack as well, so they have no problem going to sleep after high lap.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And there was pieces of cars falling off, flying off and coming past us, and everybody's moving, and I'm like, if it hits me in the chest, I'm suing.
Wow.
But I mean, it was just neat to see different racing in different parts of the track or in the
right.
country.
Right.
And if I could have gotten back there for the following night, I would have, because I would have got in for free. I would have used the radio station cred again, and I would have been good. But it just amazed me. But my father was sitting there. He was watching these mini sprints, and he's like, "How much y'all spend on these?" And the guy told him, well, some of us spend, you know, $20,000 on one, and we have like 3 or 4 in the stable. And the guy's like, I thought this was like a poor man's sport. He goes, nope.
Not no more.
He goes, not no more, man. He goes, if you don't have the money, you ain't doing this.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
that's the unfortunate thing about racing, and I think that's our Achilles heel, right? That's our downfall in racing. If you don't have money, and you don't have, you know, you don't have enough to send your. I mean, some people, and I'm not going to name names, they choose to race instead of send their kids to Mississippi State University. They, you know, and I'm like, really? Like, if I could afford to send my child to Mississippi State University, I would send my child to Mississippi State University. I love racing, but there's these guys that are really keeping this sport going. They love spending money. And that's
yes.
the only thing that I can compare it to. And I'm not putting down the sport that I promote every day. I just feel like, you know, some people they will break the bank to go and race on Saturday night. And, you know, that's dedication, that's cool if that's what they want to do. But at the same time, Craig, that's the reason why other people can't race, because some people don't know when to stop spending. And until there's a cap on how much you can spend in racing per car, per series, per division, you know, until we go back to actually running scrapyard parts instead of racing parts, we're going to see a continued decline in racing. And as you said, those 50 people in the stands, either they were diehard or they were there because they rode in with the driver. It used to be that local tracks were filled with fans. Filled with fans. People wanted to go to the races on Sunday or Saturday night or Friday night. They wanted to pull for their driver, and they didn't even know the guy. But
right.
these days, those kind of fans are far and few in between. If it's not a prestigious race like the Eldora Show Me 100, which pulls race fans and race car drivers, I would guarantee you if you go to the Show Me 100 at Eldora, you're going to find out that at least 25% of those fans that are in the stands are race car drivers at their local track. They can't afford to race there, so they go up there because they already got the campers. They already got all that they need because they race at their local track. And they go up there and they play a fan for the weekend. You know, and I guarantee you 25% of those people that are there at Eldora watching the Show Me 100 are drivers from other places in the United States. That's not sustainable,
oh,
yeah. Craig. It's not sustainable.
No, and it was
we're
sad.
Gonna be like
and
go start racing.
I'm gonna reach out actually to the promoter of Orange County Fair Speedway, because I was talking, obviously, while I was on vacation, I was working, and I said to myself, well, let me get him on here and see if we can nail him down for an interview. So I'm going to reach out to him again and see if we can't get him on there and help promote his little track down in outside of Clewiston. I think it's a great way to, help out his track. So I'm getting ready to post a poll up on the Race Chat Live page about JGR and can they grab a win this weekend.
Joe Gibbs. Yeah, I mean, it seemed to be the best cars, best team out there right now. Can they grab a win, Craig? Yeah. Can we keep them out of
championship?
They can,
but will they?
I don't know.
You know.
Will they? That's a good question because, I think if you go back to the last lap of Las Vegas, that was anybody's race. And, Joey Logano pulled a fast one on his crew chief, acted like he didn't hear. Joey Logano said in victory lane, hey, I don't know what he called, but I knew if I had clean air that I could win this race. And I remember Paul Wolf coming onto the radio and saying, hey, Joey, you're on 35 lap tires. Joey didn't seem to be, he didn't budge, man. And he got that push and he won the race. Ryan Blaney, they interviewed him, Craig. I don't know if you caught that interview. Ryan Blaney thought he had the race won. And then the last caution come out, and of course he went into the pits. And when you are Ryan Blaney and you're looking at the guy who's got the same color uniform, same sponsor uniform as you, and he's over there celebrating, and you know that you finished 11th, even though it wasn't 10 minutes beforehand that you were actually running away with the win. That had to have had a bone crushing experience for Ryan Blaney. But now Gibbs, you're right. Gibbs really didn't show any strength at Las Vegas. So I don't know what was up with that. Truex had trouble. Hamlin was in trouble early. Kyle Busch, he stated, in the pregame that, if your last name is Busch, you're not going to run well at Las Vegas. And he proved that once again. Christopher Bell had issues. Of course, we didn't even get the race started, and bless his heart, Daniel Suarez, that's what we're going to call him this year, bless his heart, Daniel Suarez. Remember, write that one down, bless his heart, Daniel Suarez. He didn't even get the race started, I think, and he had issues. So you're right. Can GGR bounce back after a horrific weekend this past weekend in Las Vegas? I think they can. As a matter of fact, I think one of the Joe Gibbs drivers is probably the favorite to win the championship. I have not dug into our Las Vegas odds yet. And normally, we get the show started, we get into that. I have not checked out the odds yet, and that's something that I guess now that we've had our first show of the year, we'll start digging into a little bit more. I don't want to burn down the radio waves. Since this is just our first show back, I want to keep a little bit held back. We don't have to get off into the full conspiracies and all the other stuff. Even though that's my favorite time.
We'll wait till week 10.
Yeah. Well, at least week 3 or something like that. Now I did say my biggest prediction of this year, and I've said it the 3 times that I've been on the radio so far this year, that William Byron will have more wins at Hendrick Motorsports at the end of the year than Chase Elliott. And I think this is William Byron's breakout year. I think that William Byron is the top dog at Hendrick Motorsports. It will not be the golden child. It is William Byron. Of course, William Byron is dating Ryan Blaney's sister. So how does that feel for you there, Ryan Blaney? Pretty boy over there, got your sister. He's going to be the top dog. William Byron will be the face of Hendrick Motorsports by the end of the year. That's my prediction. And I'm kind of reneging on the Kyle Larson to Hendrick Motorsports at the end of the year, just so that everybody knows. We'll go ahead and get that one out of the way. I feel like Larson will either be in a Stuart Haas machine or he will continue his career at Chip Ganassi. I know such a hard right after going left for so many times that this is the way
you're on a road course.
I mean, hey, you know, that's what racing is sometimes. Even when it's left-hand turns, it's still a road course, man, because there's going to be obstacles in your way. I can see clearly now the rain is gone.
Listen,
I can see
I share
all
something.
Obstacles in my way.
What did you do with the money? You spent it on cigarettes, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. No,
I did.
On vapes. Vapes.
On vapes. Listen, I don't know if you've seen what I posted on the Race Chat Live page about a week or so ago. A little girl, she's about, I want to say she's maybe four. She races go-karts here. She may not even be that old.
Four.
She looks like,
wow.
Yeah, maybe.
Wow. I did see
her,
that. The
her mom is Caitlin Marie. And I want you guys to go over and check out that. She's kissing her go-kart. She is ready to go racing. And I am too. I'm actually ready for the season to start here. Last year, if you remember right, you remember Mike Jackson, don't you? The gentleman we had on last season.
Mike.
Okay, well,
right.
he had a five-way bypass done about a week before
right
I did.
Right around the same time you did, right, yeah.
Right, but then I found out that he not only had a five-way bypass, but he also had two strokes on top of it.
Oh, no.
But he is doing well. He's home a couple of weeks, and his brother called me 2 weeks ago and said, listen, Mikey's at him, and he wants to do the bowling benefit this year. And I'm like, okay. And normally we plan this in, like, January. And he was like, yep. He says, I'm just waiting on a date from the bowling alley. So if any of our listeners are up here in this area of New York State, it is Sunday, March 22nd. It starts at 2 o'clock. It is a 5-pin or an 8-pin no-tap tournament. So, Chris, I think even you could do that. You could get 8-pin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
$75 per team, $15 a
bowler. I'm actually a decent bowler, though.
Are you?
I've bowled a turkey in my life, yeah.
You did you? Once, right?
Huh?
Once, right?
No, I've done three turkey. I've bowled three turkeys in my career, yeah.
Okay, well, that's not three strikes in a game, my friend. That's three strikes in a row.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Three strikes in a row? No, that's not.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. But I think my highest score was like a 288 or something like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought you were just making a joke. That's why I wanted to clarify that a turkey
was
three in a row.
No, I'm actually, before my back injury, I was a very, very, very good bowler.
But
believe
that's just
not.
Some of the stuff.
As a matter of fact, one of my favorite movies is The Big Lebowski. I mean, come on.
That's just some of the stuff that's happening on the Race Chat Live page.
But wait a minute. Tell me about Little McGrew. Tell me what's up with Little McGrew.
You know what? I have not seen much on Little McGrew.
Yeah?
I've
seen a whole lot of people saying, what the hell is a 12-year-old doing getting into a big block modified? But
we knew that was coming.
I told him. I was like, look, dude, you know, be a fan, man. Be a fan because this kid earned it.
Yeah, well, they don't want to see you know this from being in this business. People don't want people to be successful. And they don't want them to be more successful than they are. And that's all that it boils down to. And this kid, we said this from the get-go, this kid was going to be a rocket ship on rails, and anything that he got in, he would do well.
Hell to the yeah. Hail to the yeah. That's right.
And
can't wait to interview him again.
Yeah, I'm going to set it up with his father for a couple of weeks. I think wrestling season is almost over. And if that's the case, I'll get the interview set up. And I'll reach out to Derek tonight or tomorrow and get it set up for a couple of weeks. But Derek Jr. is a hell of a kid. And I can't wait to see what 2020 has in store for him. So,
you know what? I think he's going to surprise a lot of people that, you know, We're not talking about a kid who just gets into the race car and goes and drives. You know, we're talking about a kid who literally works on his race car out in the snow. Out in the snow, you know. I mean, they got a little garage, right? They got a little carport, I guess, so to speak, where they keep the cars. But you could basically see this 12-year-old out there in the snow working on his car, rebuilding it for the race season. I mean,
yeah.
And, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. Some people are given things on a silver platter. And then there are those who work hard for everything they got. And I think that the McGrews, they fall in that category. They might have a little bit of luck on some funds, you know. They might be a little bit, you know, have a little bit more money than what some. Obviously, probably a good job that kind of keeps things going. But after that, all you're talking about guys who, you know, this family that just works hard and puts in the effort every weekend in racing. And so that's why I'm a fan of the McGrews.
And not only that, but I mean, they're very giving with the community. And their time, so I like that.
And you said
about
Little McGrew is a wrestler, right? He does.
Yeah,
wrestling.
He wrestles, and I think he plays football. So obviously,
right.
Football season is done, and I believe that he's wrestling now. And
mm-hmm.
He's got a couple of wins under his belt this season. So
right.
Obviously, he's a force to be reckoned with on the racetrack, and a force to be reckoned with on the wrestling mat as well. So, you know. Vince McMahon, I'm sure, will be coming looking for him in a couple of years. So he better get a NASCAR deal.
Hey, if we got to see him up on the stage with Charlotte Flair, then that would be just as cool, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Old Ashley Flair. All right,
yes.
So let's start. Let's give
Charlotte.
Let's give. No, her real name is Ashley.
Whoa, damn. Oh, I learned something new today.
Yeah. Her real name is
yeah.
Ashley. Their
wow.
actual last name is Flair, but it's actually spelled a lot different.
Yeah, that's you know what? I think we watched. You remember the documentary a few years ago that was on ESPN,
yes.
right?
Yeah. And she actually didn't even want to do that. We're getting off the topic, but she didn't actually even want to do that.
Right.
She had something totally, and her brother Reed had passed away, who my son is named after, and that was his dream. And David, and so that's what she did. She, since they weren't able to fully live their dreams, especially Reed, she lived their dreams for them.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, and I've got one thing to say about Charlotte. Everybody knows I'm a big cow turd listener. I love Colin Cowherd. Watch him, listen to him every day, even when I'm out delivering DoorDash. I've got Cowherd on the radio. And Cowherd said this week their highest rating show was Charlotte Flair. Now,
see, that's
amazing, dude. Like, you know, to know all the people that have come on to the Cowherd show, their biggest rated show was when Charlotte Flair was on there. And now Colin Cowherd said he's going to bring on John Cena. He's going to see if John Cena can, because he's had The Rock on before, but Charlotte Flair, his biggest show ever, he's going to bring on John Cena to see if maybe John can actually rock the boat and be the bigger. I'm going to say it right now. There's no bigger athlete than Charlotte Flair. There's no female figure. I know the Force girls. You know, they're awesome. Brittany, Courtney, they're awesome. I know Serena Williams, she's awesome. You know, Venus Williams, she's awesome. But I'm telling you, Charlotte Flair, she's got it, man. She's the airplane riding Gucci wear. Come on, man, help me out. Yeah, but yeah, definitely.
Airplane riding, limousine riding, jet flying. Daughter of a
Gucci wallet.
A daughter of a never mind.
Yeah, daughter of a legend for sure. Who can live up to the hype? You know, how many times can the son or daughter actually live up to the hype of their father? You know,
well, look,
even
just,
Dusty Rhodes Jr. was nowhere near as big as Dusty Rhodes, right? I mean,
absolutely.
That's a little off topic. You know, Kyle Petty was never in comparison to
I was
to
just
Richard.
Getting ready to say.
Dale Jr. was not ever in comparison to Dale Sr. Two totally different personalities.
You know,
yep.
So it's
so,
like, you know, you they can't live. It's a shame that they can't live up to the hype. Now, I want to ask you something. We're obviously in JJ's last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to step away from racing. I don't think he's going to step away from Hendrick Motorsports.
But
I think this is a divorce with Hendrick. I think that this is an actual divorce with Hendrick. I think it's not being played up to what it really is. This is a divorce from Hendrick Motorsports, just similar to the way we see that Tom Brady may be divorcing New England. But back to your thoughts.
So far he's had, but we're only two races in. So, I mean, anybody can step in shit.
And get lucky, right?
And get lucky and not get it on him and not smell like it.
Right.
Early thoughts, is he going to make the chase?
No.
Wow.
And I'm probably going to eat the words for that one because I think it's way too soon to make those kind of predictions. But at the same time, he has shown me nothing. Nothing. Jimmy Johnson has showed us nothing since he hit the wall of Pocono back in 2018. He has showed us nothing, Craig Moore. It's sad.
That's it.
It's sad because you're talking about a driver who was on top of the world, won him a championship in 2017.
Right.
And 2018, he was washed up, another driver, another has-been. They call him seven times, but his days are a number. And I think that maybe it may not be just Jimmy, right? Because, like I said, this is a divorce from Hendrick, right? Hendrick's not going to give him his best equipment. He doesn't want Jimmy to still have the urge to want to drive. He wants Jimmy to feel like he can't drive, right?
Right.
But what better way to say, hey, you know, you're not going to go test the waters because you know I'm the better looking. I'm the better chick. So, you know, hey, you know, now I'm moving on, and you're going to go to the retirement home. But you know what? He says he's not retiring full time. He's not retiring from racing. He is stepping away as a full time driver. So given the opportunity for Jimmy Johnson to step into a Stuart Haas machine or a Penske machine, man, I mean, I would sign him up to run the Daytona 500 and just to see if it's really Hendrick or if it's really Jimmy. Because remember, they dismantled Jimmy 2 years ago when they took Chad Knaus away. That was the beginning of the divorce, right? That was the beginning. That was the separation period. You know,
I don't think they wanted it as much as the news, as much as the media made it out that this was a healthy separation.
If there's nothing wrong with Jimmy Johnson's brain, and that is the same driver that come into the Cup Series in 2002, then he should be just as good as Mark Martin was at 55 years old, Craig. Jimmy Johnson's only 44 years old, 43 years old. Mark Martin was winning Cup races at 55 against the guys who at that time were still 18, 19, 22, 23, 25. You know, when Mark Martin was winning in 07, and 08, well, 08 and 09, in 2010, you know, Dale Jr. was still in his early 30s.
Uh-huh.
You know, Kevin Harvick was still in his early 30s. So I don't really know, you know, if Jimmy Johnson is all there and nothing happened at that Pocono race where I feel like he suffered a major brain injury and didn't tell anybody, I think that – you know, I mean, Jimmy's still got to have something left in his tank. What I think Jimmy Johnson's going to do, he's going to stun the world, right? Jimmy Johnson's going to go F1 racing. He's going to go F1 racing. And you know who he's going to go F1 racing with?
Chip Ganassi.
No, Haas. If he were to go IndyCar racing, Chip Ganassi. But Haas is connected through F1. Haas has a team. Haas has tried to hire American drivers for his race team, and it hasn't worked out yet, to bring Jimmy Johnson to Formula O, to Formula O, to Formula O, to Formula O. I guarantee you, it would be the biggest publicity stunt in the world. Whether or not it works, I don't know. But you know, sometimes you got to sell the sponsor, right? Jimmy Johnson, F1. Against the world-class drivers, right? We're talking about seven-time champion. Racing the world-class of drivers over at Formula One. He'll probably have a Formula 2 race, lead them up to the Formula 1. But
I'm saying it right here. Jimmy Johnson goes to Formula Racing next year, maybe the year after next.
All right, so we got a couple minutes left.
Just a couple minutes. Let's make it fast.
So let's pick our winners for this week. I'll let you go first.
I said I wasn't going to get all off into the predictions and the conspiracies, but somehow
we're not
or another,
doing predictions.
Greg Morton got me all stirred up, got me out there predicting shit again. And
I'm good at that.
Yeah, so let's predict who's going to win this weekend. Is it all three series race, or is it just two? I think it's just two, right?
It's just two. I just looked at the schedule. It's just two.
Okay, so we got Xfinity, and we have Cup. Now, the Fontana has actually been a good race the last 3 or 4 years. Actually been a really good race. Who's your pick?
I'm going to let you go first.
Xfinity. Well, on the Xfinity side right now, those Fords are magnificent. Chase Briscoe and Austin Cindric, those are your top dogs right now. They're separating themselves already from the field. I'm going to have to put money on Austin Cindric because I think that it's his turn. Chase Briscoe, great driver, going to have an awesome year. But Austin Cindric, he's knocking on the door. I think this is going to be his week. On the Cup side, I'm going to have to be a little bit more brazen. I know I chose Kyle Larson to win the Daytona 500. I was way wrong on that. I think I picked Keselowski last week. And Keselowski, I tell you what, if there was ever signs that that guy is out the door at the end of the year and headed to Hendrick Motorsports, my God, it seems like the writing's all over the wall. So I'm not going to put very much stock into Brad Keselowski, but I will put my stock into Alex Bowman this weekend because I was impressed with what Alex Bowman did last weekend. He was the fastest guy on the track before that late caution. Could have possibly, with seven laps to go, tracked down Ryan Blaney and passed him for the lead if we had stayed caution-free. Alex Bowman, he's my pick for Fontana, the Auto Club Speedway, this weekend in the NASCAR Cup Series. Craig Moore.
All right. All right, you ready? I'm going to give you three of them. But I'm going to give you – the third one is going to be a – where I think he will finish pick. And I'm interested if we're going to have enough time. But I'm going to go with Cindric as well, but I'm going to go with Chase Elliott in the Cup Series.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say, with Chastain being in the six, he's going to finish in the top 15.
Wow. Yeah. Roush has come a long way. I give it to Roush. They're improving every week.
And they've got to because they were written off for us. We wrote them off. We wrote them off last year.
Right.
So.
Okay, you said you had three picks. So that's the third one, right? Let's go back real quick because we only got 2 minutes. Matt Diamandetto, Austin Dillon, Bubba Wallace, and who was the third? Who was the other? They all had top six finishes. Who is real and who ain't? Who's the real? Is it Matt Diamandetto?
I think so.
Okay.
So
Dillon, Bubba Wallace, you can pretty much just mark those off as flukes.
That's daddy's money right there.
Okay.
Austin Dillon.
I get it. I think Matt Diamandetto is in solid equipment. I think that he's there. You know, and he proved it this past weekend with a second place finish. How about that? He was a lot happier with that second place finish than he was at Bristol. I mean, he was damn near in tears at Bristol when he finished second because he thought he gave it away. But this time, Matt was able to enjoy that second place finish because it was hard fought, and he got it, man. And so, yeah, Matt Diamandetto, the real deal. Dillon and Wallace, they're still on the fluke page. Guys, I want to thank y'all for listening to Race Chat Live. If you listen to the podcast live, make sure you share it out. Most of our listeners don't listen to us live. They listen to us on the replay. So if and when you do listen to it, share it. I know we don't have that many people that listen to the show, but we would love to have more people listening. We'll try to put the show out onto Race Chat Live and also onto the 110 Nation. I want to give a big shout-out to Mr. CJ Sports. Happy birthday, big old guy.
Happy birthday,
26
darling.
Years old, looking good. Got a pretty girl, no doubt on that. Living
She's
up
blind.
In Ohio. Huh?
She's blind.
She has to be, right?
Yeah.
No, we're just messing with you. Happy birthday, buddy. It's always a pleasure. And thank you for giving us this opportunity to have another year of Race Shout Out. Third season, Craig. We like to not make it, but we're here. So no divorce.